Let's go down to the Urban Homestead, Pasadena by the freeway. Right down there on the Urban Homestead, Jules and his family are working away. Come on down to the farm in the city, back to the future, back to the plan. Right down there on the Urban Homestead, loving the life back into the land.
Oh, ooh, ooh, help the garden grow.
Singing,
oh, ooh, ooh,
we've got to help the garden grow.
Welcome to the Urban Homestead Radio. We are your hosts, Anise,
Justin,
Jordan. Thanks for tuning in to another podcast. We're back inside because it's another gray
freezing
May day.
Freezing for California people.
Cold. I have socks on.
It's actually not that cold. We're just California.
I have a beanie on and I have a scarf. It's, I don't know.
The bus bite yet.
Yeah, I know. We're spoiled. But it's been quite chilly. There's a lot of moisture in the air, which is great because it keeps everything in the garden nice and moist, and we have to water so much. But then it's going to pop up, they said, to 90 this weekend. So talk about weather whiplash. So that's kind of crazy. And then today we wrapped up another day with the French
PBS station.
Mm-hmm. So they're on their second day of 3 days filming here. So that was...
Yeah, O'Neill came by.
And O'Neill is our...
private chef that we've been doing business with for about 12 years.
Mm-hmm. And so what they
O'Neill Shabazz.
Yeah.
O'Neill Shabazz. So we were talking about all the different stuff we grow that's unusual. He made a comment about all the stuff growing, you know, the purple goosefoot that was grown all over. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It just grow like that. That, you know, was interesting.
Cause, they're volunteers.
Yeah. Because you don't see it. He's like, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's growing in between everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then he commented how the close-ups on the cameras and stuff.
They get very close-up.
Very close-up.
Yes. Enough for him to say that he should have gotten a manicure.
Yeah, really close.
Yeah, it's like right into you hold the plant and you're like, yeah. You palm my hands.
He had the mustard. We had a mustard that was, he was trying that, the sorrel. So he got sorrel, flowers, green onions, duck eggs and salad mix.
Yeah,
and spinach.
Or some frittata for them, I believe.
Yeah. So, and then...
you made jam.
And then this weekend we wrapped up two more podcast episodes for a total of 11. So we're excited that it's rolling right along. And we have some upcoming guests that we're excited to have pretty soon. And then tomorrow, you'll start tonight. Tomorrow is Farm Box Day, so... How's that going with all our customers? We have a new CSA
CFA software, but still about 24 a week, but I'm a little behind because of filming.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also have the Country Club to finish their order.
Mm-hmm. And then we got an order for 18 pounds of nasturtium leaves. Not nasturtium flowers. I said, excuse me? I said,
18 pounds?
18 pounds.
I don't think they weigh anything. How big is that? Are you going to deliver it in a trash bag?
I don't know. That's what I said.
Who's this wants this?
Exploring foods,
yeah. Like actual leaves.
Yeah, he was like, we need 72 times 4 ounces for a total of 18 pounds of nasturtium leaf.
When?
Friday.
So that's going to be interesting because we're growing the nasturtiums for the flowers. And here we're selling more leaves than flowers.
I think it might have to be in a trash bag.
Yeah, probably.
No,
are they wanted in clamshells?
No, you probably can put it in a salad
bag. Salad bags. You probably like 18 salad bags.
18 salad bags of...
what size?
Well, probably like 1 pound each.
What size leaves?
Oh, we'll just give him whatever. He didn't say size, so I just...
And for Friday.
For Friday, yeah. So
I got to pick it tomorrow?
Probably start picking tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think you have time.
Yeah,
You can start on Thursday. Oh, Thursday you can start.
Yeah, and then in the garden you were turning over...
Yeah, trying to transfer to summer veggies, but it's hard to do it when there's film crew there. But so we're able to.
Yeah, do a lot of posing with your shovel.
Yeah, double, triple shots.
Mm-hmm.
Do the same thing 2 or 3 times.
Put your foot on the shovel and stand a certain way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, so. And next week we got Gabriel, right?
Right.
So he's coming tonight to drop off some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll head out there on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So I'll go visit his farm. And then anything on Jordy having to do with the animals or chickens? I think you're going to be doing some chicken consulting possibly this weekend.
Yes, I believe so. I mean, it's been in the works for a while. It's just haven't been able to connect, but maybe it'll happen this Sunday. Wanted to get into, this farmer wants to get into chicken. I think it's, he wants eggs, or does he want meat?
Eggs, mostly eggs.
Mostly eggs, and he wants to do it to heritage breeds, so I kind of try to tell him that. Are you in it for profit? Because if you're in it for profit, you're not going to make a lot of money. It's, he wants to do organic, holistic,
grain-free,
you know, heritage breed chicken eggs. And while I commend that, if you're in it for the money, you will not become rich. It's unfortunate that the industry is so skewed that people who try to do right do not make, they cannot stay in business. And I saw that with one of... we used to have contact with one of these, like a family farm where they raised eggs, chickens for eggs. And he tried to do it the correct way. And the last time I spoke to him, it was almost like I was in tears because it was, he wanted to do it the right way. But in the end, he had part of his farm go conventional simply because he could not, he was doing the conventional chickens to support what he thought was true and right. So he wanted to do right, but it wasn't paying the bills. So he went confined animal, egg battery hen eggs as in part of his farm simply so that he could raise the heritage breeds where his heart was. And it was heartbreaking to see that here was a young couple trying to do the right thing and they actually had to end up going the white leghorn chickens in cage route. Simply to make the to keep the farm afloat. So this gentleman that I'm going to consult chickens with, I mean, he has to understand that it has to be a labor of love. You have, I mean, if it's something that you want to do, you will not be profitable, and that's just because of how the system is, you know, set up. It's when you can go to a store and get $1.99 eggs, people are not going to buy eggs from heritage chickens. You're not, I mean, even we sell eggs pretty well, but we do know they're probably not cost effective. I mean, if you actually broke it down monetarily, we are not making money off the chickens. You know, we love them, but it's not a profit. It's not a money making endeavor. By the time you count the organic feed, the time you put in it, the equipment, the you know, yeah, the lifespan. So that's why the conventional eggs are so cheap because they just, they're in it for the money. They just squeeze every egg out of a white leghorn, put them in, you know, size of a paper sheet and cage the size of a paper sheet and do it for profit. So,
we'll see.
Hopefully he will understand that.
He's got 30 acres and then he wants to get cattle. And
buffalo, I thought, too.
Buffalo or cattle. Heritage cattle or heritage?
Buffalo
cattle.
Or bison?
Oh, bison. He wants bison and Highland cows. That's what I want.
Which I'll be right over there with the Highland cows.
I'll be kissing the Highland cows on the nose.
She's got her bags packed and moving, so.
Huh?
I said you got your bags packed and you're moving because you're with Highland cows.
Highland cows. I do love Highland cows.
So. Well, speaking of that, that means, like, what, so in terms of, raise a good question about, and we've always had this discussion with Dad. And
well, you make money this way.
And ourselves compromise. So, compromise. Compromises. What? So, yeah, I mean, because here's the thing. When we compromise, we have our old-fashioned ways, and then yet we're, like, high-tech, too. So it's because we have now CSA software, which is helpful to do
Before Dad died, we had basically one cell phone that we took take out. You know, somebody left and went out. Dad, somebody went out. They would use a cell phone now. Because that, we have three cell phones. So, just to keep in touch with everybody, keep a track of everything that's going on.
Well, with the lack of people, you do have to turn to technology to fill in the
gaps.
Yeah,
but I don't like it. I just don't like it. It's good in keeping in touch and keeping everybody where everybody is at what time, where everybody's going, but still, I think it's handicapping a lot of things.
But here's the thing. It does do that, but then if you're a business, you do need it, like orders and stuff. Yeah. Because imagine it, you get the
There's
orders
no way
in,
we can
you
can
get, because people want instant stuff, you know? I mean, nobody's going to, you know.
We had to compartmentalize things. Mm-hmm. We had to put up, not barriers, but we had to draw more boundaries and then have more layers, levels of layers.
So we could actually be more efficient.
Yeah, we need to be more efficient because we were finding that there was time suck in areas that, while it was great when you had the time and it was, you know, you had like extra people. Now it's like we have to be a little more efficient with our time and preserve our sanity in some way. So I thought we, you know, used it.
Marley's hungry.
The dog wants dinner. I thought we used to be, you know, somebody would call and I would spend quite a lot of time on the phone, you know, answering the questions. It became a little bit time consuming, so we had to do a little bit more different levels, and part of that was getting, you know, cell phones and then having the main number more of for business, and then separate business and private life.
And yeah, then the CSA software is new just this year, because we used to do it by not hand, but we'd print up the emails and then.
Well, you still got to print them up, but the calculations on the math.
Yeah, now it's pre-calculated.
Subscribers and automatic payment and automatic billing. Mm-hmm. So it takes, unfortunately or unfortunately, it takes the place of a person. So, but this point, or man down,
yeah.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to do. Sort of, we wanted to do it before, but sort of forced to do it after Dad died, so able to do that. But compromising a lot lately, so could be a whole podcast on compromising.
Well, I mean, it comes down to like the gentleman with, I don't know if I would ever, you know, feel comfortable enough to actually compromise when it comes to, you know, the health and the welfare of an animal. He loved what he did, so to keep it afloat, he had to go conventional, and that was, like I said, that impacted me, and I wondered if I would ever get to that point, and I hope that I don't. So like with the film crew today, they thought it was really it was actually yesterday. They spent time with me and with the animals, and they thought it was funny when I said that sometimes there's been times when we just do not provide the aids. And they said that people aren't used to that. I said, yeah, I mean, I've been actually told, get more chickens or make them lay. And I'm like, I'm not a factory farm. I will not, you know, compromise the health and welfare of something living. So, like, okay, yeah, cell phones and stuff, it's, yeah, but I mean, I said, technically, yes, I could put more chickens back there, but what good would that do their health or, you know, sanity?
But it is, the technology sometimes is, you're on a podcast, it's technology.
No, I think what also are saying is, we're just so used to the 24/7 that if you said, no, we don't have, or no, we're out, I don't think... the modern person is used to saying, you know,
well,
or being told.
We did the seasonal
stories.
Mm-hmm. What's in season?
What's in season? They don't comprehend because they're so disconnected. They have no comprehension of, you know, no, sorry, we're out. Oh, but, you know, everybody else has it. No, but we're out.
Yeah, and I had, fortunately, we had some rainfall, but when I was watering, one of the camera guys, the crew said that his family or his wife... His family owns a vineyard, and they're not allowed to water, to irrigate.
Well, in France?
Yeah. So I know I believe it's something with the watering, like water down the grapes. so they need natural water, and so he pointed that out. We tried to, for a couple months there, when the thing, I wasn't watering at all. It rained every week, so we tried to go with it, but from now on, I'll probably have to be watering everything, hand watering, which is, I like it, but still a lot of watering.
It does come down to what, you know, sort of what's in your heart. I mean, I do prefer face-to-face interaction rather than on the phone, but sometimes because of we live in Los Angeles and distance and just the way everyone's schedules are, you know, it's some interaction is better than none. But, you know, as my best friend complains, I rarely pick up the phone call. He's like, yeah, I'm not big on phones. I still, to this day, I'd rather you come over, but between our schedules and life, you know, it's good to pick up the phone and at least make that connection. So, it's, you know, keep touch via text.
Yeah, and then there, as I said, so technology, we still have that battle between, you know, old-fashioned or old ways with the modern lifestyle. We are modern people, so...
It's what's in your heart, what you feel like. And I think we do. There's been times I at least do is kind of leave technology. Just if you can walk away from it.
Try to do it on Saturday.
Yeah.
We try to not be plugged in on Saturday. But
Saturdays we call. It's like time off. It's our Sabbath. So we figure, not figure. But it says, you know, 6 days you shall labor. And on this one of the seventh day. Well, I try not to do, if only if it's a friend.
If it's friends, I do consider that. But there's been times where, you know, I can leave technology and not have like, I'm out of touch. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, sometimes to the point where my friends get mad. You haven't texted in 2 days back. I'm like, all right, I know. I just kind of just left my phone there, mm-hmm. you know. And I know some people, they just cannot. And I know we can. So that as long as you have that part of yourself that knows you can, then you have to hang on to it, I think.
Yeah, so we sometimes, I mean, I knowing that, you know, just sometimes when the week gets all crazy, just to know that, oh, on Saturday, we're just going to, you know, just put aside the work, the business, the making money, and just step away from that.
Time out of time.
Yeah, because it does help, and it does, you know, just recharge you for the week ahead, because it's just like, oh, you know, it's Saturday.
Selfish
big sigh of relief, huh?
Selfish reasons, yeah. Or religious reasons?
Both, but or you can, we go, well, if we're up to, we go walking, hiking. That was one of our favorite pastimes. Is
yeah, we grew up in the mountains.
Hiking every Saturday. Taking hiking trips, going walking, or going to the Arboretum, going to Descanso, going to a museum.
It's generally time with friends. Yeah. It's, and, you know, every day there's business or things to be done here at the homestead. It's like 24/7. But Saturday, it's kind of like if a friend will go with a friend, it's you can actually, you know, pay full attention to that friend rather than be distracted by
it. But sometimes we get compromised, too, on that one, too, on Saturday. We sort of get, not forced into it, but other people interrupt our regularly scheduled programming.
I know, but sometimes it's good. I mean, no, it's sometimes you get into a rut, and then you have to get out of the rut sometimes.
But compromise, you can go as far on everything, and it's been bothering me for a while, but all right, another episode, we can talk about other issues that we're dealing with.
What are we dealing with?
After death.
Any bugs or pests this we're doing so far so good?
Well, I mean, garden looks great.
I saw you putting some fertilizer. What was that?
Oh, yeah, just time of year we put in when we turn over. I was able to get some rock dust. Put it in when we turn over the beans. Basically has minerals that is missing from most soils, and it's been a couple years since we've done it. So it doesn't necessarily need to be done every year, but every couple of years we bring in some rock dust that help recharge the soil.
So what is rock dust?
It's basically ground up rocks. It has a lot of minerals.
Really?
So, but there's several different...
But why does it? They say, what's so special about it?
Well, I mean, they were asking O'Neill, can you taste the difference on the salad? And people can. You know, and it doesn't taste like... it does taste differently, and I think it has part to do with the soil and how we treat it.
Yeah, so speaking of that, so the story goes, because of the soil, there was a gentleman about 10 years ago, came to one of our dad's presentations at Smith & Hawk, and he says, I have a garden, I grow my lettuce. And he was coming to our Saturday socials when we had once a month, and he's had our, because we would put out salad. He said, I had your lettuce at the Saturday socials, and I have my lettuce in the garden, and it doesn't taste the same. And so dad's response was the soil. The soil is sweet because of the soil. We've been composting, mulching.
Yeah, and it's been 30 years of composting.
So you
compost
can taste the
things.
Sweetness.
So if you just started, it's not, and anything you buy at the, to any, most soil or potting soil you buy at the store has very little, if any, nutritional value for the plants.
Yeah.
So, and the rock dust is the, usually the fertilizer is measured by NPK, and rock dust doesn't have that. It has the more mineral stuff on it. So it's the stuff, trace minerals, helps things. But you don't necessarily have to do it every year. It's just a supplemental thing. And there's many different kinds to choose from, and you can get carried away too.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do.
And because there was that one lady that came to the farm stand, and she said, "Oh, what else do you have?" And I said, "Oh, we have kale." She goes, "Oh," she kind of shuddered. You know, oh, I can't, no. And I said, "Well, you know, like, what's up with kale?" Because she's this healthy person. And she's like, "Oh, I've had them, you know, and I get them at the farmer's market." And she says, "Way, they're too tough and bitter for me." I said, "Well, you haven't had harvest. Just let me go get it for you." So I ran down and picked her leaf and I said, "Here, taste this." And she just was like, "Oh, this doesn't taste like what I get at the farmer's market."
It's also smaller, babier, and not as tough. We like our greens on the small side, so.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing?
Dr. Kenny asked if we wanted a treatment today, so I just said, no, sorry. I texted her. She's like, "You want your treatment?" Because it's Tuesday. I forgot. So she was like, "Do you want your..."
So we take... Is this our compromise?
This is our compromise. I have
You're
to tell her no.
Already.
So then she showed
up. Turn the phone off.
I did turn the phone off, but it hummed. I can't let him come down without treatment.
And compromise happens.
Speaking of Dr. Kenny, she's, we'll maybe have her...
I'm a farm stand customer.
She's a customer, yeah. She's really tech. She runs the wellness center up in Altadena.
Maybe we'll get her on the show some point.
Yeah. She's all about the overall health of people and things like that. So I think my voice is hoarse from talking too much today. I just feel like I'm talking in the...
In the foghorn?
Yeah.
Or anything, but.
And then what else, Jordy? What do you want to do? You said
you
want to
read this or not?
You want to read some of this stuff? Or we've got a really nice letter. We're still going through all the letters that we got from people we got from all over the world. And this one came from Israel. We went to Israel in...
I think it was 2009?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if I can read through all of it, but... So it's a family that we met online. So it says, "Dear Jordan, Justin, and Annie, so as soon as we heard of the sad news, of our hearts went out to you. We were blessed to have met your dad personally and to have hosted you all in... some years ago when you came to Israel. I never told you this, but when you stayed with us, we had one of our children still living at home, and when he heard that we had invited a family to stay with us we had never actually met before, except through emails, he promptly informed us that, one, we were crazy, and two, he planned on sleeping with his door locked. Mm-hmm. Within minutes of meeting you, and especially your dad, he whispered to us that it was 100% okay for us to host you, and that he would be leaving his door unlocked as usual. My dad died 2 months ago, also unexpectedly, and so I know only too well the hole in your heart when you lose a parent, even though it's natural and normal for a parent to die before a child. It still doesn't seem right. The loss is so great." So then he describes a Jewish ritual for burial and says, "P.S. Should you decide to come to Israel again, we'd love to host you all. Mm-hmm. Rachel and Mordecai."
Yeah, I'd like to go to Israel again. That was a really special country, I think. A highlight. I don't know if it was highlight because I was having a hard time, but waking up at 4 a.m. to climb Masada.
Well, a friend of ours, Elena Tan, booked us a night in Gedi, mm-hmm. which is a kibbutz outside the Dead Sea.
It's right on the Dead Sea.
Mm-hmm. And there's Masada's history in Israel. And it was really weird because I guess we showed up at dark. Why did we see it during the day?
Which one?
Masada. We just showed up.
Oh, no, no, Masada's that way. We came in and Masada's
Masada.
Okay, so Masada, we came in from the north and was on the south side.
South side.
Everybody said we should climb Masada. So we get there and they suggest to catch the sunrise. So it was 4
and before
o'clock.
It gets hot.
Well, first of all, we knew there was a trail that was up, but it was eight or nine, or later, and we wanted to catch the sunset. So
sunrise.
So that, and it was very warm and humid, and so we woke up at 4. I thought, oh, it's gonna be cool, like California mornings.
So
it was like 90.
It was like 90 degrees at 4 a.m.
Barely breathe.
So then you're sitting there in the dark, and you see this little mountain like this big, and very dark, and so he said, oh, that's like that.
You can do that.
We could do that, no problem. So, I don't even know if we ate breakfast or anything, but...
No.
So, it kept going, going,
switchback. I was huffing.
And Romans did siege that, you know.
Yeah. And then, but we got to the top just as the sun rose.
And then you look over the back and all the people coming up on the tram.
Oh, well, we did it the rough way.
The tour bus pulls up from
the back side. And they spill out. We're like, but we're proud of that, so.
And then coming down, it was rough, but then when we got to the spot where we took a picture,
mm-hmm.
it was a massive, huge
rock. It's a huge rock. Yeah, it's massive.
Then we look back and we're like, wow, we climbed that? Because it goes from, Dead Sea is like
lowest
sea level.
Place on
Earth. Lowest
below
place
level,
on Earth.
Below sea level.
And so, but that day was kind of funny because we joke because that night we flew out of Tel Aviv.
Yeah, we flew out, so we went from
the lowest
to
24,000 feet in the air.
Yeah, that messed us up a little bit.
Yeah, I think our brain didn't do too well for that. Or blood pressure.
I think we arrived home and we had an award ceremony at Pasadena.
Yeah, that
so
night.
So it's like we're home and then went to an award ceremony in Pasadena and we're like dragging our butt.
I think we didn't know. Sometimes it's good not knowing what you're getting into. Because if we'd know how hard it was, we probably might have not done it.
Yeah, it was worth every moment.
Yeah. I had a hard time.
It's history. Yeah, mm-hmm. Where the Romans built the ramp to try to siege it. And
our bathing suits still smell like the Dead Sea.
Yeah, to this day, I cannot wear that bathing suit. Mm-hmm. It smells like the Dead Sea. No matter how many times I wash it, it's the Dead Sea. It's just like that salt. And our backpacks. Because we travel with backpacks, I don't do Febreze, but they might have to, it's 10 years later?
They still have
when I used it when we went to Joshua Tree, I'm like, it smells like the Dead Sea in here. It's going to stink off all my clothes. It's stained everything.
But
that's fun.
We floated. Yeah. Justin didn't float though, right?
I floated. I can't float in water.
Justin cannot float.
I sink like a rock.
He tries so hard he cannot float.
I could float in the Dead Sea, but not in a regular sea. Very little water.
Maybe we'll visit him again. So.
That is a wonderful place though. I mean you definitely felt the healing powers of the minerals there. I mean, there was a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. The sulfur springs,
mud. Yeah. I mean, you could just feel it, mm-hmm. and you're just like, you had to fly back out here just to
get all that
again.
And the food?
Yeah. But they also...
And the food spread?
Yeah. They also have...
Gorgeous.
They also sell, speaking of rock dust, they also sell salt.
For your soil.
Salt for your soil. It's
from Israel?
No, remember Justin would buy salts?
Oh, right.
It's a company that does like rock solids, sea solids, and it basically be salt. Too much salt will kill your plants, but just enough salt has some minerals. So, just like the Dead Sea we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
to revitalize skin, hair, mm-hmm. a little bit of salt. The
Jordy
special
washes
salt.
Her hair with salt.
Yeah, not the iodized mm-hmm. stuff from morning.
Now you need to brush your teeth with salt.
Yes, rock salt.
Yeah, there's something different about
Himalayan
Dead Sea
pink salt. Mm-hmm. There's all this other stuff. But there's actually salt for your garden, which is another form of rock dust.
There'll be another podcast, but, you know, some people mentioned the old photographs that they thought I have dyed my hair. in the last couple of years.
Yeah, you could do that in your ladies only.
Yeah. And so they think they're like, well, so you dyed your hair. I was like, no, I didn't dye my hair. And do you think I have time to dye my hair? So it, generally, because of some scalp issues we're going to talk about in a later podcast about natural beauty and health, I found out that it was controlling a lot of the grease I had in my hair when it was a Dead Sea, and I didn't wash my hair for 2 days after, and I didn't have greasy hair. And so after that, I was like, there must be something to it. So I started washing my hair with, you know, a little bit of Dead Sea salt on a regular basis, and it gradually lightened my hair.
Oh, and took the grease out.
And, you know, my mom says that's the hair color you were born with. So you see all the old photos, I have dark hair, and now I have light hair. And it's,
well, no, you had light hair, then you had dark hair.
Baby, I had light hair, and then I went dark, and now I'm back to light again. And it's, I think I wash my hair every once in a while with Dead Sea salt just to clear it up.
Yeah, we like salt to brush our teeth, mm-hmm. start to gargle, so it's a lot of
minerals in it.
Yeah, and we're lacking in minerals. That's one of the things I try to get, you know, back into routine. Like I said, sliding backwards because the last couple months sliding mm-hmm. backwards, but then trying to go forward. Okay, take care of yourself, take care of your health. You know, we have our, you know, stuff like the, we have the collagen from, and then we have making the minerals in our food, like a smoothie.
Yeah, but they also reminds me that somewhere there was a study that they measured either a bushel of oats. Mm-hmm. Was it a bushel of oats?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A bushel of oats weighed
50 years ago.
50 or 100 years ago weighed more than a fifth bushel of oats today.
They said it's a depletion of the soil.
Because there's nothing in the soil. It's oats, but there's no minerals.
The weight is different.
So you say, well, oats are oats. It's a bushel. It's mm-hmm. still a bushel.
And we're eating the same. You're eating food. I'm eating vegetables. Yeah.
So they say basically if it's not in the soil, mm-hmm. it's not in the fruit or veggies. So that was one thing that got us started on rock dust and minerals was the minerals. And then when you researched that, the weight changed, the content changed, and things.
Yeah, what did Dad say? He did, when in his PowerPoint, when he did his presentation, he did talk about the modern farmers, they think of soil something.
He said it was a, and I actually said that to the French filmmakers today, they said soil, the modern agriculture views soil as a way to hold up a plant. Mm-hmm. They put the plant in the soil, and it's held up by the soil. And then they dump all this fertilizer on it to make the plant grow. Whereas Dad viewed the soil as the basis and the foundation of everything good about the plant. It wasn't just a holder, you know. To them, it's just to put the seed in, and it's a container. And then they throw all the fertilizer to make it grow.
And strip it.
And strip it. And then Dad, you know, was always replenishing the soil. To him, the soil was from where all life came from. And he definitely felt he had to feed the soil, nourish the soil, and build the soil. To him, it was a living, breathing thing, not just dirt. He said dirt is lowly.
Yeah.
He said that people, one of his quotes was that people think that the dirt is just the lowliest thing on the planet, when it's something that a whole life and a whole existence depends on.
Yeah. Years ago when we had the rainfall and to help replenish the soil. I mean, help get everything wet, but we would like to think, at least, that the soil is better off now than it was before. On normal farming operations, the soil gets depleted. Mm-hmm. So if you say, if you looked outside and you saw the pictures, you say, well, what did you put in there? Past couple of months, it's very little outside. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like I said before, very little outside inputs on that. And you say, well, how do you do that every year, every year, every year? It's the soil. Yeah. So we're
speaking
able
of soil,
to.
So how on the corner of the yard, how high are we?
Well, the ones we added, one of Dad's ideas was to, because we were running out of place for composters, and nobody wanted to turn the compost pile. So Dad was putting a raised bed. So on the back side, there's actually a 2 or 3 foot high raised bed that we filled with compost. So we joked that it was a foot and a half higher. Now some of the raised beds are 3 feet high. So it was an easier way to compost, is if you dig, we dug out a third of the bed, buried compost in it and filled it up. And it's one of the more productive beds. It's, we were supposed to do more of it, but it was easier to do that than to turn compost, especially during the last 5 years of drought. It was hard to water your compost pile.
We don't do compost the way... They make it a little complicated.
Yeah.
It's...
we simplify it a little bit. Just dig a hole and bury it, and it'll decompose. So that was one idea that Dad had. So he had like 10, 6 or 8 2x4s on a raised bed and made it a compost pile.
Yeah, he put a... Because that was one of the beds that got stuck. It was the driest one because it was in the corner. And then so you raised the timber on the thing, and then you put... Then you actually built like a what's it called?
Trap door top
because... You know, you didn't want flies or stuff. And so then we would dump the compost in there.
Or clear plastic so to heat it up. Mm-hmm. So it did work. I mean, it was a year. Not for the whole bed.
I think
it was
probably two now, right?
It was 3 times. So you divide the bed in thirds.
Oh, because it was eight feet.
So it was one section that was filled up. And then we move it over to the next section like that. So that was a simpler way because we had so much compost to do that, to stack the... Do it in the beds, and now, like I said, there's 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 of them that are at least 3 feet tall. So.
And how many raised beds do we have back there? I think it was 50,
well,
right?
It's about 50 if you count the ones on the side and the different sizes. So mostly they're 3x8, which is 8-foot lumber and 3 feet, so that we can reach across it easily. There's a couple 2-footers, 2-foot wide, along the fence line. And then there's a couple 4x8s.
Are you going to do that method? Like, are you going
to? I have to go back to that thing because it worked for us. It was easier to turn over a whole bed and fill up a whole bed with compost. It's been, like I said, on the to-do list for a while. But I have to get back to that. So that
and
was one way.
You got some galvanized beds too now.
Yeah. So they had
how
some.
Do you like those?
They had some ones on sale at Home Depot, but. We haven't tried them. I mean, haven't had them for long, but...
They seem to be lightweight, and you can easily move around.
They're customizable and stuff, so we'll see how they go. But they look nice, and they should last longer than the wood. Mm-hmm. The issue with ours raised beds is that they're like 10 or 15 years old, so you can see some of the wood is starting to rot. Mm-hmm. I think we put citrus oil on it, but it's still going to rot. So that...
Well, they're cheap pine, so...
Yeah,
right?
Cheap pine with citrus oil to... What do you call that? To
seal it a bit.
Seal it, but you know it's still wood and it's still going to decompose. There's a couple of the beds out there that have fallen apart, so that's
on the to-do list.
To-do list.
We have right behind us. We have 1, 2, 3 clipboards with to-do list. Everybody has their own.
You have a list to do for your list.
One thing you know is you're never going to accomplish it all.
Yeah, I know.
You have to kind of be realistic. There's never going to be a point where you step back and say, it's done. It's just, it is what it is.
Well, the raised beds lasted 10 years, so, I mean, you figure that is. And then the chicken coops and even the soil blockers and the plastic trays, they wear out. You know, they break. But that's the upkeep. I think we talked about last time, maintenance.
Maintenance and upkeep is
keeping things painted. You know, things just get old after a while.
I mean, 30 years living here, things start to. It's like, oh, that's.
The soil's good, but the rest of
the house is. The house is 100 years old.
Yeah, 100
so
years old
it's,
this year.
It's seen a lot. And, you know, you have to take care of these things. You have to take care of yourself.
Well, I think we're learning to take care of ourselves now because, like I said, we've had it rough, and then now it's like, oh. We can't be of any use to anybody if we're not looking after ourselves and taking care of ourselves. So I've been back on the juicing thing again, so getting that on there. And anything else?
Yeah, I just got to get back to basics maybe, but and not overthink it. But
yeah, it's
there's definitely paralysis.
Yeah, I'm still dealing with emotional stuff too.
Yeah, well, speaking of paralysis, sometimes there's so much stuff to do, you're almost paralyzed. Mm-hmm. It's like, you just are just like, oh, I can't figure it out, you know? Yeah. Too much choices, too many things to do. And then when you fall farther behind, then you fall farther behind. So try to do it. We knocked off some things off the to-do list, right?
Yeah.
which is why we're doing this podcast. Yes, this is one. Podcast is one of the things we've knocked off. How long have we been talking about a podcast? Like
Old Time Radio Show?
Yeah, an Old Time Radio Show for at least 10 years.
It's at least five. At least five.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's storyboarded. It's storyboarded one of them, but I think it started with the Hoot, I think, sort of, kind of. Or you had it before the Hoot?
Well, I think, no, we had it before the Hoot. And that, because, like I said, we've always had this thing with, you know, old-time things. You know, just old-fashioned, old-time, you know, sitting around a radio or listening to something and the music and stories. So we've always had that concept, and we just never got around to doing it. So it's good that we're, you know, taking steps to do this. So
yeah, this week I...
one positive step in the right direction, right?
Picked up some files. Yeah, I picked up some files and all the plans that, you know, we had and some of the things maybe we visited.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were all there. They just never got taken to the final end. We had some short films that were written out and cookbooks. The dad actually wrote a script to he wrote a script to a short film, and I came across that this week. And also dad had plans to create his own soil line.
Mm-hmm.
And
cookbook ideas. Yeah. Work like not a workbook, but like a garden
planner. Yeah, dad actually has sketches for a garden planner.
Cookbooks,
so I saw, you know, all that's in boxes, and I, you know, some of it I saw, and I just, you know, it's a little difficult to deal with, but you know, sometimes you think you have to do it.
We haven't got through all that stuff yet. I think we just let dad stuff, except I only did pull out some stuff for the memorial was the pictures and stuff, but there's all of the writings and the plans I haven't got down for that, so.
Yeah, so it's been suggested that for, like, some of the patrons that support this podcast, to provide them with a special cookbook
recipes,
you know, just the, like, the inside scoop of some of the secrets we've developed over many years of cooking and, you know, from having the Belgian genes for looking at a recipe and saying, that's not going to work, I got to fix it, and then changing it. And
you also had the strawberry bars. It was a story bar. Yeah. That one too.
I got tired of making pie crusts, I think.
No, yeah.
The ones with the store-bought strawberries?
Oh, yeah, Justin thought I didn't know how to cook.
Yeah. There was one time, for a class?
Yeah, I used to bring it to knitting class.
No, because it was Betty's birthday.
Yeah, she loved these strawberry bars.
Her birthday was in winter, or fall. Her birthday was in fall.
Yeah, so we were short on... We tried to deal with these. For years, we would get local strawberries from... local farmer till they retired and the water bill was too much and they got too old and stuff, so they retired. But the story goes is that we would always have these strawberry bars, like a variation of lemon bars.
Sorry, we've got a crazy cat going through just whoop, trampoline on our...
He likes to sit on the back of a chair and then reach through and play with his tail. Like, yeah, he's kind of a strange cat.
Like a balancing act. Okay, go back, sorry.
Let me interrupt this program.
Okay. Well, kitty cat.
I'm daddy kitty.
Crazy.
Right. Crazy cat. So where was I? Strawberry.
No, the strawberry.
You said the guy couldn't pay the water bill?
Yeah, so the water, we ended up, that was for years, but sidetracked with Gabriel. But so at the time, we couldn't find any strawberries, and we needed it for somebody's birthday party. So we bought strawberries, organic strawberries, from, I don't know, some local, probably unnamed local.
Organic food chain.
Yeah.
Lodge, organic. Food chain.
Sure, nameless. But so we said, hey, organic strawberries. So I wasn't aware.
Justin wasn't aware that we had to do this.
Listen, no, here's the thing, because sometimes we did have frozen strawberries.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have known what we've had, you know, canned or frozen.
We made the strawberry bars, brought them to class, and left the plate for Justin. We come back, and he's kind of like, guys?
No, you didn't say anything because you said you wanted to hurt our feelings.
Yeah, so the deal was the topping was pink.
It didn't taste like anything.
Toppy was pink. The strawberry layer was pink and watery. And unlike usually where it's bright red and
had flavor.
And had flavor. So I was like, man, something's wrong with these strawberry bars.
They want to
I didn't
want to
tell anybody because I didn't want to hurt the feelings. So I just, I don't know, it was a couple of days, maybe a week. And they said, oh. I said, what happened with the strawberry bars? So yeah, those are store-bought strawberries. Oh, sorry. I thought you guys
screwed up.
What?
Yeah, it was. But the irony is, people at the party loved them.
Oh yeah, see, they don't know.
They don't know. So you can actually, you can make them side by side, and you can have a picture of the strawberry, mm-hmm. and think one's pink, mm-hmm. and one's red.
Okay, speaking of that, you know, certain animals that shall be named nameless if you don't buy organic. Oats or organic milk, they'll turn their nose up at it. But it, you say, but it's a cat or it's just a... No, they'll know that they know
no,
the
difference. No, I did that. I would give it, you know, organic oats and not organic oats. Yeah, to the goat. And she just like, nope. And then there was one time she would not eat, and she loved cabbage. Mm-hmm. But yeah. She would not eat cabbage from anyone but from this, from the ground. And it was just...
It was bizarre.
Yeah, and then like she
always supposed to feed your kids and stuff.
So. Yeah, she had a affinity for like a little bit of brown sugar just as a treat. You can go get, you know, brown sugar, CNH. Would not touch it. I had to get organic, a little bit of brown sugar as a treat, and she just would eat that. She knew organic chips, mm-hmm. But you know,
yeah, even at this one of our cats, Ziggy.
Yeah.
He doesn't like organic milk.
I
don't know. It's really weird.
He wants organic cream, but not organic cream. Yeah. And it's like these animals know. Yeah. And they know what's good food, and she was smart, and thinking she did the same thing with carrots. She would not eat carrots. She wouldn't eat she loved peanut butter, but she would not eat peanut butter that was like, you know, conventional. She liked the organic one. You know, she knew. She was a food snob. To be honest, she was a food snob. She was such a food snob. She
liked her parents.
Yeah.
Like her parents.
She was such a food snob. She liked to sample, you know. Like one time I found her because they would hit open the kitchen door. And I found her in the kitchen and she had her head in the cabinet where we had started, you know, we do baking. So sometimes we had like a little bit of rum and a little bit of like, you know, some spirits for like... New Orleans style bread pudding, and she had popped the top, and she had a tongue in there, and she was taking all the rum. And she likes, you know, if you hang out with a friend, and you know, he would tip the beer, the last couple of drops, and she'd that's put her so nose up and like, suck from it.
I think we have a picture.
Yeah, she loved beer. She loved the good spirits.
Yeah,
so. She didn't like, you know, conventional beer. She liked the IPA stuff.
Yeah, that's spoiled.
I know, we had one, it was like, we gave her peanut butter and she'd be, and the thing was got milk.
Because you give them peanut butter and they just like sit there and smack
but
it.
But she literally could have milk, see, so got milk. It was an inside joke.
They loved peanut butter. It was pretty hilarious. You'd give them a big scoop of peanut butter and everybody, I would do it when people came over because it was such entertainment. They're like, give the goat peanut butter. So I'd give the goat peanut butter and she'd just sit there. You know, over and over, and it was hilarious. And then, like, the little nose would wiggle, and the little blackberry is little tiny. And she had like the peanut butter face.
You brought them home on a metro.
Yeah, I brought them home on a bus. Yeah. So I picked up blackberry. Actually, took a bus to Long Beach and had a friend in Long Beach drive me to Paris, California, where I got blackberry. And then I drove all the way to San Diego to get Fairlight. Then drove back to Long Beach and put them in a cat carrier and got on a bus. And drove. We got back to Pasadena with a bus, and you could see people trying to look inside there. And every once in a while, the goat go meh, and everybody like in the bus. We like I'm just like, mm-hmm. And they're like, is that a cat? And I'm like, mm-hmm. And it's these two little goats about the size of
they're three months old.
They're that big.
Purebred.
Yeah, very high pedigree. And so I remember getting off the. I remember getting off the bus and told him, "You're city goats now."
Yeah,
right. And that's what I looked at him in the thing and said, "You guys are city goats now."
And then, speaking of the patrons, so some ideas besides the behind the scenes stuff, maybe some special photos, some recipes, and possible dinner with the Gervaises?
In person or on the radio?
I think in person, if they're willing, if they want to, you know, come and have
the lucky
dinner.
Winner or non-winner gets to eat dinner with us. Get all the behind-the-scenes secrets.
Oh, I still, like I said, I still have the idea of like
win a date with the Dorys.
That was not
that's another podcast.
That's another podcast. That's another we did have that idea. We would auction Justin off on eBay for a date with Justin
Farmer.
Next question.
Okay, we won't go there. Next.
Next podcast.
I think why
we have your own girly podcast. I'll have my own.
Oh, so yeah, guys, tune into that one because we'll definitely dish on Justin. He won't be here. Because we're going to have a girl-only podcast. So all the ladies tune in between the ages of...
Put your hands
sorry.
Up. All the single
ladies. You guys must be
all
tired.
All single ladies. Sorry.
This yeah, is from a whole day of talking. And I did... Yeah, I had... Because it was cold out there and talking, I have a little bit of a tickle in the throat, so...
What did you do about
I may have gargled. I may have gargled mead. And swallowed.
Is any of your mead rescuable? Saveable?
Yeah, I've been going through it. It's what happened with it. It's just I haven't been managing it. So now I'm going through like 30 gallons of mead and just, okay, what's, you know, what can save and what I can't. It's just not,
vinegar,
it's not, yeah, it's not any fault.
Off.
Yeah, sometimes if you don't watch it, somebody hits the top and it falls off. And it simply was lack of time. Those other things, of course, as you know, in the last couple of months that took my time and I just... I looked at the mean and said, I just can't handle it. So now it's time to just sort through and just say, okay, what got messed up?
Yeah.
You know, what got messed up? What, you know, top fell off and wasn't put back on? And, you know, so now I'm trying to get back on to that. Because you do have to have a steady stream of, you know, fermentation. Because if you want mead, you have to start at least 3 months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So if I need alcohol in 3 months.
Said it could age a little bit more. But...
I definitely knew that, and I told him that. I said the rose wine needed to age. It needs to age.
Because he said his wife is a bit...
Yeah,
bit,
I know. Well, she's...
Or whatever.
So. Yes, I wasn't going for an award. It had alcohol, which is about all that I shoot for these days. We can discuss taste later. But
there's some really dangerous ones though.
No, I have really good ones. I have to get down to that. I do miss, you know, the bottling it and having that you know, that perfect bottle of mead where it's just like you opened it up and it's all sparkling and you kind of show it off that mm-hmm. This is something you made and you know, 3 months you have to kind of at least wait 3 months, so it's nice to just, you know, foresee that and pop it out in the summer, maybe.
Sparkling.
I know, crazy cats.
Circles under the.
I know, he's doing the gymnastics. He's crazy. And then
we talked about him when we found him. Cactus Patch Cat.
Yeah, his cactus patch. He's absolutely going.
He wants to be part of the podcast.
He is going crazy.
I think he's trying to scale the microphone.
Yeah.
He's the craziest cat we've ever had. Yeah. Literally.
He's so crazy. I usually that one of the. We do let our cats outside. But
after
it was
1 year old.
There was a rule, they must come in by 3 o'clock. Like, no ands, ifs, or buts, all the cats. Because we actually, surprisingly, have coyotes and bobcats in the neighborhood. People don't realize that. We actually have, bobcats have been spotted on Orange Grove, which is just right there. They use the freeway as a
corridor. No, and there was one right in front of the house?
Yeah, that's bobcat.
Oh, bobcat.
Bobcat. But the other day, I walk outside the house, and there's a coyote trotting down the street at, like, 11
noon,
o'clock.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of coyotes. So the cats are not allowed to stay out at night. So one of the ways I do that is every kitten I get stays in the house for a year. You do not let them out of the house. You keep them in the house for a year. Then you start letting them out supervised, and then you train. You know, they come in at 2 o'clock. All the cats come in at 2 o'clock. This one, I've jokingly said he's not going to be let out of the house till he's 21. He's that crazy. He's almost a year old. He's not going to be out of the house until he's 21 years of age. He's on house arrest.
He's grounded.
Definitely.
His butt is
because,
grounded.
I mean, seriously, all the other cats, 1 year, they kind of get a little mature and you kind of put them out a little. You have a little trouble and they push the boundaries, but eventually get them.
They like their routine.
Yeah, I mean, Ziggy comes in.
He knows. He starts to hang around. He gets closer to the house when it's time to come in.
And he sees me coming.
He goes, I know. I got to come in.
Sees it here. Here's me coming.
Oh, so we got that, and then I'm looking at other ideas. So we'll have to maybe take some questions look for you know, some questions from readers maybe in the next podcast. We'd like to maybe focus on that, and then any feedback we'll definitely listen to from our listeners about what they want to hear from us, tips, tricks, techniques, and all that. Anything else you want to share?
Solo block video coming up
for what, patrons or just regular? Well, we'll see.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll do little snippets and videos, and hopefully blog some more. And yeah, definitely share. Like I said, after 15 years of blogging, or 15? No, sorry, 2016. What are we doing? We're pushing 17.
Yeah.
I keep saying 15, but might be pushing 17. Yeah. So. And then, yeah, you know, definitely have listeners share their stories. I like it when we go on to Facebook and see pictures of other people's gardens. That's nice to see what they're doing and, you know, sharing, hey, you guys, you know, this is my garden and things like that.
I think the reality check is when they post a picture of their garden and it's covered in snow. So that's have to get a reality check sometimes, because you just go outside and it's 365 and then they post it and there's like their garden's under a foot of snow. So.
I know. We're spoiled.
Yeah, definitely spoiled.
Good too. And that's the challenge with California. There's no down days, so ish, kind of.
Yeah, it does look good up there, though.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I might say so myself.
And we had nothing to do with it. That was a blessing of rain.
We got bailed out.
Yeah,
that was a blessing of rain.
Yeah. Last year, it was really, like, sad to walk outside. And see the garden, just like everything was just shriveling. No matter what you did, you looked at 6 years of drought, you just like, no. So it was such a relief. It was sad. It was like there was nothing you could do to fix it. And no matter how much you watered, it was something was wrong.
Yeah.
So it was sad. I mean, you know, I definitely saw that when we walked out last year. And it was, at one point, it just like, not that you gave up, but it was like, what could you possibly do? So you just let the garden be as best as it could.
Yeah, because you can water all day and all night. Still wouldn't make any difference. So you got a rumble?
You got a rumbling circus here. Cat versus
dog. Dull moment.
I know, they love each other. But here they go.
They do that all night.
It's the rumble.
The rumble in the jungle.
WWF. Monty versus
They used to Marley. Actually, we had a house rabbit until she passed away of old age. And Marley would do the same thing. They would, the rabbit and Marley would chase each other. Marley would race to the house chasing the rabbit, and then the rabbit would turn around and chase Marley to the house. It was actually really, really funny.
Well, Monty's broken two lamps already. the tops of the oil lamps. He's crazy. Yeah, so
we're going to have to move it outside next time so we can get a little.
I know, we have peace and quiet. They're just.
Well, I think it's what?
Just
the temperature's going to go 90?
Yeah.
Saturday,
and stuff like that. So
we'll be back to California.
We'll be back.
And just stop crying about how cold it is.
I know, we're wusses. We're sorry. What did Matt say? If it was 60, it was close to schools.
Save the children. It was a joke on California school. It's supposed to be a certain temperature and they're going to close them.
Yeah, we're back on ourselves, so yeah. We know we're wusses.
So we have very, very little weather.
Yeah, so, yeah, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Not as tired as we were the other night. It was a little
tired.
But, yeah, we thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you again next time.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Let's go down to the urban homestead, Pasadena by the freeway. Right down there on the urban homestead, Jules and his family are working away. Come on down to the farm in the city, back to the future, back to the plan. Right down there on the urban homestead, loving the life back into the land. Oh, ooh, ooh, help the garden grow, singing. Oh, ooh, ooh, we've got to help the garden.
The Urban Homestead theme song was written and recorded by Tom Fair. Thanks, Tom.
We've come to the end of this show.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Be sure to tune in again. Until next time,
this is Annie's.
Justin.
Jordan. Keep on growing.
Oh, oh, oh. singing